rank organization presents. A Ronald Neame, John Bryan production. Gregory Peck. The Million Pound Note. Based on a story by Mark Twain. With Ronald Squire, Joyce Grenfell, A.E. Matthews, Morris Denham, Reginald Beckwith, Brian Alton, and Jane Griffith. Screenplay by Jill Craigie. Music composed by William Olwyn, conducted by Muir Matheson. Director of Photography Jeffrey Unsworth, BSc. Editor Clive Donner. Associate Producer E.M. Smedley Aston. Produced by John Bryan. Directed by Ronald Neame.
Once upon a time, when Britain was very rich, deep in the vaults of the Bank of England, there was more gold than anywhere else in the world. Safe, people used to say. Safe as the Bank of England.
Here it is, Mr. Montpelier. I trust you will not be disappointed with its prosaic design.
On the contrary, it seems to me a thing of beauty.
If not a joy forever. Allow me, Oliver. It looks good. It feels good. It is good.
And there's only one other like it, issued in connection with a foreign loan.
Yes, we read about it. That's what gave us the idea.
The idea?
I suppose it does seem a little curious that we should need such a large sum in the form of one note.
It certainly is an unusual request. I imagine it's for a business transaction.
Very important business, isn't it, Roderick? Shall we tell Mr. Garrett?
You leave me no alternative. You see, Mr. Garrett, my brother and I require this pretty, exquisite, unique little scrap of paper for a bet.
A bet? Did you say a bet?
Very important bet.
Gentlemen, you astound me. I'm astounded at the purpose for which you require this note. I'm astounded that you should call it a scrap of paper. Allow me to draw your attention to the text.
I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £1,000,000.
A military band, dressed in smart red jackets and bearskin hats, parades along a street, passing a handsome man. The man, whose coat is looking worn around the collar, pauses to watch an elegant family share a picnic. After a moment's pockets and
This consulate, the United States government, for the assistance of needy Americans in London. Well, that's too bad. I'd have thought this would be just the place.
Well, that doesn't mean we're not anxious to help, Pip, and you could work your passage.
Find work here.
We'll make inquiries.
A week, that's a long money to last me through the next few days. I can find work for myself.
We can give you a small loan if you can guarantee repayment. Can you offer us any kind of security?
Well, I've got a head on my shoulders and a good pair of hands. Unless you don't trust me, that's security, isn't it?
It's no security. It's making similar requests. If we made an exception, we wouldn't know where to stop.
Well, if you like, I'll...
Can't be done. Join the Anglo-American Society. That'll put you in touch with people in a position to help you.
Well, I think on the whole, I'd better try...
Come back if you have no luck.
Could I have one of those?
Sorry. All gone.
Thanks.
The destitute American heads out of his consulate, mounted on the front.
Muffins, muffins, fresh muffins.
Inside a prim nanny wheeling her child dressed in foaming layers of leavement. Just picking it up, giggling girls walk past. He reaches down to grab it, car walks past, where, when the attempt to...
Young man, would you step inside a moment, please?
Sir?
Yes, you.
Thanks.
Liveried footman opens the double...
Good morning, sir. Will you please come in? Permit me to lead the way, sir.
The American follows the footman through the lavish house. They head up as agreed balusters.
Gentlemen, sir.
How do you do, Mr.
Henry Adams?
Come and sit down.
You're in
New England. Mm-hmm. Oh, sir, it's my first trip here.
I wonder, Mr. Adams, if you'd mind us asking you a few questions.
Go right ahead.
And what your plans are?
One thing at a time, Oliver.
Well, I can't say that I have any plans. I'm hoping to find work. As a matter of fact, I landed in Britain by accident.
And how is that possible?
Well, you see, back home, I have my own little... I get a lot of fun out of it. I was sailing out of the bay...
Well, go on. Bay.
Towards dusk, I did the only thing I could. Next morning, I'd just about given myself up to the brig.
And it was the brig that brought you to England?
That's right. I earned my pack, which accounts...
You mustn't worry.
I'm afraid I don't quite...
What sort of work were you engaged in?
Would I be right in kind of work?
It's not an indelicate question. Have you...
Well, to tell you the truth.
What luck!
To you, gentlemen. This is your idea of some kind. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be on my way.
Please don't go, even though my brother is a little tactless. Give him the letter.
Oliver's out a drawer. He takes out an envelope, then rather pompously carries it over to Henry.
The letter. Yet, you may open it at 2 o'clock.
Not a moment before.
It's not ridiculous. There's money in it.
Oh, well, now, listen to me. I don't need your charity. All I want's an honest job.
See, Mr. Adams, that's why we've given you in show, Mr. Adams, out.
Good luck, Mr. Adams.
Well, why don't you explain what this is all about?
Mr. Adams, in exactly 1 hour...
1 hour and 10 minutes.
This way, sir.
Mr. Adams, not until 2 o'clock. Promise.
Bye.
Amused. And James pulls the doors closed.
Intelligent, a stranger to London.
And not a penny with which to bless himself.
Perfect.
Henry is ogling a tent in the window of a restaurant. And thoughtfully straightens up his jacket and heads by the window, immediately attracting the attention of a po-faced woman standing behind the cash register. She taps the arm of a man, Brown.
That one preserved.
Henry is escorted to a much less prominent table.
Mazora, Horace.
Henry carefully places the blank envelope between the salt and pepper shakers, then glances at the clock. It's almost 1:05. Henry glances over his shoulder, disturbing the man behind who has been staring. Waiter Horace comes over.
I'll have some ham and eggs and a nice wings and make it extra thick.
Cost a tiny bit.
That's understandable.
Later, Horace returns with a tray bearing the slap-up meal as well as a side dish of vegetables. He sets a tankard on the corner of the tuck-in. Henry takes a bite with a look of immense satisfaction. Time party. Henry mops up the last of the sauce with a piece of bread anchored. He dabs his mouth with a napkin, then looks at the clock again.
Waiter. Same thing again, please.
Again?
That's right. And fill that up.
No, sir. He's asked for another portion, hail and all.
But don't spare the gristle.
It's...
Ham, eggs, steak, potatoes, beans, cat, 2 quarts of ale. 3 and 10 pence.
Thank you. Would you mind waiting just a few minutes?
What's it to wait for?
All right, Horace.
That was a wonderful meal. You know, it's amazing how much pleasure you get out of the simple thing.
There is a bill. I could attend to the other customers.
That clock of yours, is it correct?
If anything, it's fast.
Well, it's fast.
2 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I don't wish to be unpleasant, but would you please settle the bill?
I want to, but you see... Yes, I know the bill.
Exactly.
Well, I don't suppose a couple of minutes will make any difference.
Henry tank note, a note prominent pounds. The mind drop open. After silence, passes the note to the proprietor. The owner...
I'm awfully sorry, but I don't...
Well, just one moment.
Maggie! Look! Mr. Clements, Mr. Clements!
What is it?
Would you mind just looking at this?
A look at the note, then pops in an eyeglass to have a clutch. Are spellbound by the spectacle.
But in any case, it's hardly likely to be a forgery.
Why not?
It would draw too much attention to the owner. No forger would want that.
But look at the owner, Mr.
Henry picks up the letter which accompanied.
I can only assume he's an eccentric.
Eccentric?
Well, yeah.
Find him at once.
I'm sorry, sir.
But it's all I have on me.
All? Oh, please don't worry, sir. It's of no consequence that you should so much as step foot inside our little establishment whenever you're seeking peace and quiet.
Well, that's very good of you.
Good, sir. It's good of you, sir. You must come whenever you want. Of your presence is a...
I may not be passing...
Poor thing, sir. If I couldn't trust... If you do play larks upon the public in the matter of dress. As for the bill, it's of no consequence.
Thank you very much, sir.
You, sir. And I do, sir. From the bottom of my heart.
The owner bows and Maggie curtsies, then they returns the gesture. The doorbell. He waits for a moment, then rings the bell again. Windows have been shuttered and steps back from the door to look up at the rest of the building. He goes down the steps. This window is barred.
Did you want something, sir?
You remember me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I've got to see your employers again immediately.
They've gone, sir.
Gone?
Gone abroad, sir.
But they were here just an hour ago.
They will be back in a month. A month from today.
But I can't believe that they...
and bolted the door in Henry's face. He scratches the back of his head, then moves away steps. He's pensive, then has another look at the letter which came with the...
The enclosed banknote is lent to you for one intact at the end of that time. You shall have any job that it is within our power to give you. It may interest you to know we have a bet on you.
Just as Henry is considering the message, a strong gust of wind tugs the £1 million note from his hand and whips it away. Henry looks horrified and races after it, falling at the top of the steps. The note has come to a rest a few tantalizing feet away. Henry saunters over to it casually, but just as he bends over to pick it up, the wind snatches it from his grasp. Henry forgets about looking dignified and jumps about, trying to grab it. It dances behind a row of bars with spiked tops, then lands on a grating above a basement. Henry hauls himself up on the railings, but at the last moment, the note gambles away on a current. It lands on the pavement, then sticks to a hoop, which a young boy is rolling with a stick.
Hey!
Henry's coat tears as he pulls away from the spikes. The note drifts into a pram.
We said goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, did the dirty piece of paper fall on baby's face there?
Hold it. Hang on.
Henry tries to grab the note from the woman's hand, but it flies off, and he ends up chasing it and her around the pram. The wind tugs the flimsy paper along the street, and Henry hurtles after it.
Prepare ye for the day of judgment. 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 Prepare ye for...
Henry bumps into the man handing out leaflets, and they go flying up into the air. Henry snatches at the falling papers, trying to locate his elusive note. He spots it, and it lazily floats back down to earth, landing just in front of him. Henry eyes it cautiously, then leaps and manages to pin it down with his fingertips. A group of schoolgirls start giggling as they pass by, and he gets up from lying sprawled on his front across the pavement.
What a funny man!
Behave yourselves.
Henry dusts himself off, then examines the tear in the lining of his increasingly ragged-looking jacket. He notices a mirror outside a shop and looks at his reflection below the words, "Clothes maketh the man." He pokes his fingers through a hole, then wanders off, pausing at another sign reading, "Jonathan Reed, Tailor, founded 1778. He considers the note, then folds it up and tucks it into his pocket before heading inside. A man is flicking through swatches while another shows a red waistcoat to a client. Henry approaches a counter where a third assistant is unfolding a length of material.
I'd like to have a suit. I thought you might have something ready-made.
He'll attend to you.
I want a suit, please. Something I can walk out in.
Ready-made suits? Down the stairs.
Oh. Thank you. I hate to interrupt, but would you like to show me some ready-made suits?
Yes, I dare say we can fit you up, sir. This way, please.
I thought you might have something that was made up for another customer and not collected.
Well, we don't go in for that sort of thing here, sir. Oh, here we are, the very thing.
Tell Todd to serve him quickly and get him out of the side door.
Yes, sir.
The sort of thing that's worn in England nowadays?
Oh, yes, that's all the fashion. Try the trousers.
Mr. Reed says you've got to get him out of the side entrance, and quick.
Well, I know what I'm doing. I've got eyes, haven't I?
Henry has put on a tweed suit.
It's a little noisy, isn't it?
Well, you won't do better, sir, all things considered. You're a little difficult for size, you know.
Yes, so I am. Well, it'll do for the time being. I'll take it.
Good. Shall I wrap it?
No, I'll wear it. I'd rather not pay you now, if you don't mind. I'd like to open an account and settle with you in a month. You see, I don't happen to have any small change.
Here we go. I suppose a gentleman like you can only be expected to carry large change.
Now, look here, Sonny. If I were you, I wouldn't judge strangers by the clothes they wear. I just don't want to embarrass you with a large note.
Well, I meant no offense, but while rebukes are in the air, what makes you think we can't change a large note? As a matter of fact, we can.
In that case, there's no problem.
Henry looks rather smug and crosses to his torn jacket, then takes the folded note from the pocket. He takes his time over passing it to the supercilious Todd. Todd immediately drops his notepad and pencil and shuts the note. After a moment, he tentatively opens it up again and breaks down.
Well, what's up? What's the trouble? What's wanting?
I'm just waiting for my change.
Well, come, come. Get him his change, Todd. Get going.
Change, sir.
Change. Could it... Is it... Would it be the one I saw in the papers on Wednesday? Or was it Thursday? I remember thinking that never would I be blessed with the feel of such a note as this. You're a fool, Todd, a born fool, bringing the gentleman into this part of the shop. You'd think we never had dealings with millionaires. And take off this jacket, sir. It's only fit for the dustbin. Get Jack after a million. Allow me, sir. This way, sir. The balance is perfect. We were making it for the Hospitaller of Halifax. He was very much of the same build. 1 inch off the sleeves.
1 inch off the sleeves.
The cravats, Mr. Reed.
I said the new ones from Macclesfield.
Oh, yes, yes.
First thing in the morning, we shall start to make for you. You'll be needing a morning suit, a dress suit, something for the opera.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I don't need all those suits. I only came in here for one suit.
The waistcoats, Mr. Reed.
Thank you. 35.
35.
You'll never get through the season without them. 30 suits is the very minimum. Lord Reddington favors 48. Square up the neck of the back.
Oh, I can't give you all those orders. Why, you'd have to wait indefinitely for payments.
Indefinitely. A weak word. Eternally, Mr. Adams.
Dressing gowns, Mr. Reed.
Thank you.
Shrink the front edge a little.
Shrink the front edge a little.
Now, what about a cycling suit, Mr. Adams? Cycling is all the rage nowadays, and then, of course, there's Ascot.
I'm not going to be doing any cycling, and I'm not going to be doing any ascotting. Sailing's my hobby.
Ah, the sport of kings. Very right and proper for a personage such as yourself.
I thought racing was the sport of kings.
Then it ought to be sailing. Nip in the waist a bit.
Nip in the waist a bit.
And make a note, Arthur, a nautical suit.
A nautical suit.
The spats, Mr. Reed.
Thank you. And just a fraction more skirt.
Just a fraction more skirt.
It's our pride and glory to see a man of your eminence properly attired for the season. The skipper, Mr. Adams, would be inconvenient to you and harmful to me.
The other cravats, Mr. Reed.
That will be ready for you in the morning.
That's fine. I'll just get back into these now.
Oh, dear, the humiliation. Still, I suppose, no alternative. Your address, Mr. Adams?
Well, I don't have an address. I'm changing quarters.
Take my advice and stay at Bumble's.
Bumble.
The very place. Quiet, modest, and discretion itself. Luckily for you, I have a relative on the management. Leave it to me.
Really? 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 Thank you very much, Reed. I'm most indebted to you.
Reed's relative hangs up the telephone. He heads into the lobby of the rather grand hotel and approaches the desk.
Which of the suites on the first floor is vacant?
None, sir.
Williams.
Sir.
Fetch all the reception staff and the commissionaires from both entrances.
Yes, sir.
Ah, the bridal suite. How long is it since the Duke of Frognal settled his account?
6 months, Mr. Lloyd.
I'll move him up.
Yes, sir.
Prepare the suite immediately. Send up fresh flowers, roses, carnations. I want you to pay particular attention to what I have to say. I am expecting, at any moment, a Mr. Henry Adams. He is somewhat eccentrically dressed, you understand? Quite unlike our usual clients. But as far as you're concerned, he is attired as correctly as an admiral of the fleet. You will, of course, welcome him with all the discretion for which Bumbles is famed. He happens to be an American millionaire. Go back to the doors and look out for him. I do assure you, Your Grace, it's entirely to your own convenience. You will find the room far less disturbing at nights.
Never been disturbed at night since I came here. Sometimes I wish I was.
The room was previously occupied by my Lord Howard of Howard.
Never heard of him. This is where I am, and this is where I stay. What's the meaning of this? Get out, all of you! Shoo, shoo, shoo!
Carry on. I assure you, Your Grace, it's merely temporary.
Temporary be damned!
Naturally, I wouldn't put you to the inconvenience of packing your bags.
This is intolerable. Come on, out with it. What's the meaning of it?
If Your Grace will consider the move in all its aspects, I feel sure you'll appreciate its beneficial nature. Naturally, there will be a slight reduction.
Oh, there will there? Sure there ought to be.
A pretty chambermaid catches the Duke's eye.
Will she be there too?
That, Your Grace, is a matter for the housekeeper. Incidentally, as the new room is below the servants' quarters, you will be far more free to indulge your musical inclinations.
Shall I? Now let's have the truth, Lloyd. Who have you got coming here? Come on, out with it. You can't bamboozle me.
Mr. Henry Adams, Your Grace, an American.
An American?
An American millionaire, Your Grace.
Are you trying to tell me American money means more than an Englishman's name? I won't stand for it. This country is going to the dogs.
A carriage pulls up outside Bumble's.
Wait, cabber.
A bulky man carrying a long and heavy case sets it down for a moment outside the hotel. A doorman comes out and sees him and wrongly assumes he's just got out of the carriage.
Good afternoon, sir. Allow me. This way, sir. You're expected.
The man looks perplexed, then waddles inside. He has a moustache and is wearing a close-fitting bowler hat and a tweed coat with a fur collar. The new arrival raises his eyebrows in surprise at the elegant lobby.
If you please, sir.
Comfortable room I've had.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
excuse me. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. Welcome to Bumble's. Parsons, whatever's come over you, carry the gentleman's case.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
Parsons takes the case and falls to the floor.
Parsons! Get up at once! This way, sir, if you please.
Parsons tries to lift the case again, but can barely raise it an inch off the floor.
We are most honored that you are staying with us, sir, and we can assure you of every comfort.
Good afternoon, sir, and welcome. Wilcox, the register.
Yes, sir.
The new arrival is given a pen.
You kindly sign, sir.
Just here, sir.
The man signs with an X.
Thank you very much, sir. And now, if you will step this way, we have reserved for you the bridal suite.
Parsons.
Excuse me, sir.
Parsons' colleague drops the end of the case and it springs open. A barbell falls out and rolls across the floor.
Now, what do you suppose he uses that for?
Pick it up, Parsons, pick it up!
Parsons looks long-suffering.
There's nothing we of the old country like so much as a good sense of humour.
This way, sir.
I apologize, sir. I trust...
Henry has arrived.
The case. We'll have it taken up to your suite.
This is Bumble's.
Yes, sir. The manager's expecting you. Excuse me, sir. This is Mr. Henry Adams.
Adams? Did you say Adams?
Well, that's right. I understand I'm expected here.
Oh, Mr. Adams, I apologize profusely. There's been the most unfortunate misunderstanding. You're an imposter. Parsons, I'm surprised at you. Perhaps you'll have the goodness to leave. I said, would you mind leaving? If you would just sign the register.
What's going on here?
Just a mistake of the commissionaire. Get rid of him. The foolish fellow mistook him for you, Mr. Adams. Quite unforgivable.
Excuse me.
Up it.
This way, please.
The imposter resents the porter's attempts to remove him and floors each one with a ringing blow.
Fetch the police, Williams, the police.
No, just a minute. I don't think we need the police. I'd like to have a talk with this gentleman. Oh, can't talk? Well, that doesn't affect your drinking habits, does it? Good. Yeah, perhaps you'll be kind enough to lead the way for us.
Certainly, Mr. Adams. Attend to the bodies instantly. Yes, this way, sir.
Little laryngitis? Oh, you're a boxer. Strong man. Well, vaudeville? Oh, the circus. Well, what do you know about that?
Henry heads upstairs with his new silent companion. In a steaming hot bath.
So you see, Rock, whichever way you look at it, I'm in this thing up to the neck. All I was doing was walking around looking for a job. And now look what's happened. I didn't ask for this, and now that I'm in it, I may as well enjoy it. And that's where you could come in. Are you very busy these days?
Well, that's great. Why don't you string along with me for the next 4 weeks? Help me to keep the banknote intact, and I'll settle with you as soon as I get the job from the two old boys. What do you say?
Rock shakes his hand.
That's the stuff. It ought to be a pretty good job. Worth £500 a year, anyway. Six. You know, Rock, you've got the right idea. In the meantime, we'll just have to put up with all of this. For the next month, I'm Henry Adams, the American millionaire.
Newspaper headlines heralding the arrival of Henry Adams, the eccentric possessor of a £1 million note. A row of footmen make their way up to the bridal suite, loaded down with dozens of boxes. Henry is looking dapper in a grey morning suit. He holds out his hand and is passed a top hat then is tossed a cane. Rock is dressed in black with a bright yellow waistcoat.
Aren't you overdoing it a bit?
Rock shakes his head.
Oh, well, let's be on our way.
They head out.
Good morning, sir.
The two men pay a call on the American consulate.
We set up our consulate entirely for the assistance of our people, and you don't give us the opportunity of rendering service. But for these newspapers, I wouldn't have known of your arrival. How long are you staying?
Well, that all depends. Indefinitely.
Oh, good. You're in time for the season. Who do you know, Mr. Adams?
I don't know anyone. Except two brothers in Belgrave Square, Oliver and Roderick something, really.
Oh, the Montpelier's most worthy gentleman.
No thanks.
Oh, I insist. It's one of my personal Havana selections.
Oh.
Now that you're here, we must see what we can do for you. Though, as ambassador, I think I should admonish you for not coming before.
That isn't strictly true, Your Excellency. I was here once before.
Then why wasn't I told?
Well, it was... I was in difficulties over currency. Matter of fact, I still am. You see, this note of mine...
Say no more, Mr. Adams. What, £100 tied you over?
Oh, well, that's awfully good of you, but I...
Nonsense. Bring in £100 immediately for Mr. Henry Adams. In £5 notes.
Oh, thanks very much.
I told you before, we're here to help our nationals. Now to get down to more serious matters. I must open a few doors for you.
An entry on the Social News Court Circular reads that Henry Adams will be attending reception at the home of the Duchess of Cromarty.
Mr. Henry Adams.
How good of you to come, Mr. Adams. This is my husband.
How do you do?
Now, this is a very informal occasion, so I do hope you're going to enjoy yourself.
Lord and Lady Crockington.
And if I see you in difficulties with any of my Baltarsian friends, I shall fly over and rescue you at once. Oh, Lord and Lady Hurlingham. Mr. Henry Adams, Lord and Lady Hurlingham, and Lady Jane. Lady Jane is so fond of horses.
Are you interested in horses, Mr. Adams?
Oh, yes, indeed. As a matter of fact...
Mr. Adams, I want you to meet the Waldrons, the Gloucestershire branch. Not butting in, am I?
Not at all.
Sir William Strickmead.
Charming.
If you really wish to understand the British, I suggest a visit to the House of Lords. Would you care to come with me?
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact...
Well, Mr. Adams, I'm most anxious to introduce you to Mrs. Hooker Orr. Will you forgive me?
La Comtesse d'Avignon.
Such breeding. Doris likes to play lawn tennis, Mr. Adams. We just can't keep her away from the Wimbledon Club.
Do the ladies play lawn tennis in your country, Mr. Adams?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Mr. Adams, I want you to make the acquaintance of Sir William Gorringe. He's an expert on genealogy. Might dig you up some ancestors, excuse me.
A man of character.
Intelligent.
We must ask him to come to lunch.
There have been several cases of Americans who discovered a peerage in their family.
There you are. What did I tell you?
With a name like yours, the West Country might prove fruitful. After all, Adams is quite an old name.
Yes, indeed.
Now, what are you two men talking about? I'm going to take you away and give you some tea. I've neglected you quite disgracefully.
Well, this is neglect, Duchess. What is it like when you really take care of a fellow?
You must come to one of my little dinners.
A young woman in pink smiles after Henry.
Uncle.
What is it, my dear?
Dr. and Mrs. Carmichael.
Mr. Henry Adams. I'd like to meet him.
Well, go ahead into the scrimmage.
I mean on the balcony, alone.
Have you succumbed too?
I really thought it might be useful to get him interested in Aunt Grace's charity. A millionaire behind us is just what we need.
Oh, if that's your intention, my dear, I'm with you. I'll do my best.
Ascot, Lords, riding, bicycling. Poor Miss Adams is going to be quite overworked.
My dear, Japonica wants a word with you. She's in a state of acute distress. Her son's joined up with those dreadful liberals.
Oh, how foolhardy. You see what it is to be a hostess. She's the only one who isn't allowed to pick her company.
Now, I fear I must drag Mr. Adams away from you.
Oh, what a pity.
Now, I have a relation who will make my life quite intolerable unless she meets him. This way, Mr. Adams.
General Bluff.
Now, where can she be? I left her beside this window.
Oh, never mind, sir. I've met so many delightful people.
There's no getting out of it, Mr. Adams. My niece can be very determined. Perhaps she's gone out for a breath of fresh air. There you are.
How do you do?
Mr. Henry Adams, my niece, Portia Lansdowne.
How do you do?
I'm afraid you're being rather overworked, Mr. Adams.
Yes, indeed. I mean, no.
If you'll excuse me, my dear, I must go once more into the breach.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Poor uncle. He hates my aunt's parties almost as much as I do. Nothing but talk, talk, talk. And nobody says anything, do they?
Well, nothing very serious.
Serious talk at English receptions just isn't cricket, Mr. Adams.
Cricket?
Bad form. The only way is to get well out of range of the hostess. Oh, it's raining.
Too bad. It was much nicer out here.
Portia ducks into a stone alcove, and Henry follows her.
I've taken you at your word. Do you still think it's nice right here?
It's nicer than ever.
I used to hide here when I was a little girl.
It must be pleasant to be brought up in a place like this.
I dare say your own surroundings are far more impressive.
Well, different.
It's raining.
Get back in. Won't there be some raised eyebrows?
Of course. We'll invent a reason as to why we're here.
Why invent a reason? Couldn't I just say that it's been wonderful to spend a few moments with the most charming girl at the party?
They can't possibly be out here. It's raining.
You're trapped, aren't you?
Suits me. What about you?
I tell you what we'll do. We'll say we were discussing the Cromarty home for motherless babies.
The what?
The Cromarty home for motherless babies.
Oh, they'd hardly swallow that.
Oh, but they would. It's my aunt's pet charity. And being a millionaire, they'd expect you to take an interest in charities. You do, don't you?
Well, yes, I do, but...
And to prove it, you could say you're coming to the opening of our new premises. It's next Wednesday. That is, if you'd like to.
Will you be there?
Of course.
I'll be there.
Henry's posing for a picture with a horde of crying babies.
Will you please look this way, Mr. Adams? Will you please look this way? Hold it. Thank you very much.
Charmed, absolutely charmed.
Henry passes a squawking child onto Rock.
They're adorable, aren't they?
Adorable.
Portia takes a seat, and a little girl in curls gives Henry a coy wave. He waves back and she scurries off, smiling excitedly.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the last part of our proceedings. Thanks to the generosity of our many friends, we have paid off the mortgage on the home and the running costs for one whole year. But the Cromarty home must go on, and we must lose no opportunity to make a great deal of money. I therefore propose putting up for auction this magnificent contemporary vase, most kindly presented by Mrs. Landon Smythe. And to set the ball rolling, my husband has offered the first bid of £20. Now then, I wonder who would like to top that. £20 we are bid.
£20.
£30. That's a lovely stop. Now then, £30.
£45.
That's very fine. Who will improve on 40?
£70.
Oh, Mr. Henry Adams, thank you so much. Now we really are moving. And 7 is my lucky number. Isn't that lovely? Now for this very unusual object, I am offered £70.
£82, and well worth it. Now, let's go up in leaps and bounds.
£82 and 10 shillings.
£82, 10 shillings for Mr. Henry Adams. What a charmingly whimsical gesture.
£100.
Oh, thank you so much, the door. £100. That's our first three figures. How about £120?
Henry shakes his head and Portia looks disappointed.
I see. Well, who would like to advance me something over £100?
£500.
£500? Most generous.
£1,000.
Oh, Mrs. Milford, thank you so much. £1,000.
£1,500.
Thank you.
£4,000.
Oh, very exciting.
£4,500.
£4,500. Now, I wonder if we couldn't possibly get a wonderful round figure of £5,000. £5,000. £5,000. Mr. Adams! Mr. Adams offers £5,000!
Henry had actually just been waving to the little girl.
Now, is there any advance on £5,000? Any advance? Any advance? Then going to Mr. Henry Adams for £5,000, going, four.
Henry looks overwhelmed.
Oh, it was so clever of you to do it that way. For a moment, I thought you weren't going to bid anymore.
Your bars, Mr. Adams! Your bars!
Henry walks forward to stand beside the rather ugly-looking vase.
Another link between our two great countries.
Here, here. Well done, America!
Scattered about the suite are piles of letters. One is labelled Appeals for the Hospitals and Children, another Appeals for the Church. The largest pile belongs to those containing Appeals for Animals.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I can't pay.
He falls out of bed, then clambers back on it with his eyes still closed. He suddenly opens them.
Rock! 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 I can't go on with this, Rock. Not for another day. We're up to our ears in debt and we're getting deeper every minute. It's like walking on quicksand. How much of the ambassador's money do we have left? It's all gone? The charities? Costs money to be a millionaire. Well, we've got to clear out of here somehow. We'll go into hiding till the end of the month. We have to go somewhere. I don't care where, just so we go. You fix it.
Oh. That's a load off my mind. Now on, the masquerade is over.
Rock heads into his adjoining room. It's morning, and the men's luggage has been packed and labelled. Henry is gazing out of the window with a smile on his face.
Rock, look.
Rock joins him.
Listen. Smell. As I walk along the Bois Boulogne with an independent air, you can hear the girl declare, he must be a millionaire.
Henry sees the luggage.
Rock! We're not going. Things always look bad at night.
But this morning, the sun is shining and the birds are singing.
We can't throw in the cards when the game is only halfway through.
He opens a note which has been delivered on a silver tray.
Oh, Hampshire House. Portia.
Henry closes the note and takes a few thoughtful paces.
Tonight, Rock, I'm going to tell her the truth. Tell her quite simply that I don't even own the shirt on my back.
While a woman sings, Henry has been roped into holding wool between his outstretched hands for an elderly relative of Portia, who is busily sketching.
you rich and free, I will give you silver.
I've got to see you alone.
When?
Now. I've got something very important to tell you.
The singer gives him a disapproving look.
Keep it stiff, Mr. Adams.
Grace is in the music.
Oh, here comes the American ambassador with a friend of Mr. Adams.
Friend of mine?
Yes, someone called Eastbourne or Worthing or something.
His Excellency the American ambassador and Mr. Lloyd Hastings.
Excuse me, please.
Wallace, how good of you to come.
Good evening, my dear.
Oh, Mr. Ambassador.
Mr. Adams, this is Mr. Lloyd Hastings.
How do you do?
It's nice of you to ask me over, Duchess.
He's very anxious to see his old friend again.
Well, the same Henry. Oh, it's wonderful seeing you. The first time in 10 years. I used to work with his father.
Charming.
The minute I saw those pictures of you in the papers, I made up my mind to track you down.
We must find a little corner so you can both have a long talk. But first of all, you must meet my family.
Well, we'll get together later then.
Later.
I always knew that boy would make good. He had it in him right from the time he was under.
This is my husband.
While the Duchess is making introductions, Henry nods for Portia to head out onto the balcony.
And this is my father, Sir John Mansfield.
Henry slopes off.
How do you do? And do come over and meet my sister. She's just been
outside.
You look so lovely out here in the moonlight. It makes it more difficult to tell you than I thought it was going to be.
Here in the moonlight, it seems as though words are quite unnecessary.
Yeah, but you see, I have a confession to make. And it's rather embarrassing.
You mustn't worry about that. It's quite customary to be embarrassed.
You don't know what it is. When you hear it, you might not like it.
My reply shall be all that you hope for.
Wish I could count on that.
You can. You see, I already know.
You know?
I suppose I've known all the time, really. I have a confession to make, too. I feel the same.
Portia.
You don't think I'm forward, do you?
Henry holds her tight, then they share a lingering kiss.
Wait a minute, there are things that I've got to tell you. Now it's more important.
And I've got lots of important things to tell you, too. Don't let's spoil this moment with words. Somehow they seem quite inadequate.
They kiss again.
Portia! Where are you? Where is Mr. Adams? Mr. Hastings wants to talk to him.
In a carriage.
Now, Henry, you've got to help me. As we're alone, I can tell you the whole story. I'm in trouble. And you'll be able to get me out of it quite easily. I've made a large investment in a gold mine, the Good Hope gold mine. You may have heard of it. It's a sound proposition in every way, but I need more capital, and that's where you come in. Support from you at this stage could make all the difference between failure and success.
Henry is daydreaming, imagining himself and Portia leaving a church arm in arm and being showered by confetti.
They should strike the reef in no time at all. Of course, I know that we haven't met for several years, but I was a friend of the family, and you know I would.
In another dream, Henry pictures himself and Portia at the christening of their child. He holds her hand, and she smiles up at him.
My idea is to float a new company and give every shareholder a chance.
In his last fantasy, Henry poses for a photograph with his wife and their 5 children.
Bumble, sir. We're here, sir.
Well, here we are. Home already. Come on in. Have a drink. Oh, here we are. Now, unreel your story.
Unreel it? What, again?
What do you mean, again?
Good hopes, Henry. Good hopes.
Good hopes.
Henry, you've got me worried. What did you take over at Hampshire House?
I took the hand of the loveliest girl in the world.
You mean the Duchess of Cromarty's niece?
That's right.
Henry, on top of all this, you're marrying into the peerage? Congratulations. Now about this mine, Henry. The land's there, the gold's there. Tons and tons of it. We only have to go another 50 feet and we'll strike. It won't take more than a week.
Well, congratulations, you're a made man.
Oh, I'm a ruined man, Henry. I've sunk everything I have into that mine, and I can't hold out. All my own money. If the shares go much lower, I'm out. But there isn't a capitalist in town who'll take a chance.
I can understand that. We capitalists get our money tied up.
Henry, I'm not asking you for money.
What are you asking me for, then?
Have you ever had any reason to mistrust me?
My father trusted you. That's good enough for me.
Then all I ask for, Henry, is the use of your name. That's all I want. Your name for 1 week.
Well, use it by all means. Only what's my name got to do with your gold mine?
It's a millionaire's name. It'll save my life. And you'll benefit too, Henry. Mark my words. Oh, I'm on the rise again. And I'm going to take you with me, higher than you already are. You'll make money too. We're going to play skyrockets right in the middle of the stock market.
And what did you take over at Hampshire House?
Mr. John Gravel.
Mr. Walter Craddock. Mr. Walter Craddock.
Calling me?
Yes, sir. Telephone call from your office, sir. Mr. Lloyd Hastings.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming so quickly, Craddock. Those good hopes. What are they standing at this morning?
Standing? They're on the verge of collapse.
Fine. Buy me 20,000 on margin.
You had a touch of the sun or something?
I don't get your meaning. Oh, one other item. Buy me an additional 20,000 in the name of Adams. Henry Adams.
The Henry Adams?
Well, who else? He happens to be a very good friend of mine. Thanks, Fanny. I'll give you a call later.
Henry Adams.
Craddock picks up a phone.
Hello? Hello?
Bye, good hope. Bye, 3,000. Bye, good hope. Bye, 3,000.
Good night. Bye, good hope. Good night. Bye.
Bye, good hope.
Good hope. Good hope shares are on the rise.
Porter, bye, 2,000.
Porter, bye, good hope. Porter, bye.
What's behind this?
Henry Adams, the American millionaire. He knows the mine.
Henry and Portia have gone out for a sedate row along the river.
Well, finally, I've got you all to myself.
Yes, Henry.
Without any distractions.
Yes, Henry.
So you've got to listen to me.
Yes, Henry.
Portia. I'm not a millionaire.
Of course you are.
The banknote. It doesn't belong to me.
It doesn't even exist.
The whole thing's a complete mistake. It's a misunderstanding. In fact, I don't have a single possession that I can call my own.
My poor, poor lamb.
No. I'm serious.
So you're living in the bridal suite at Bumble's, free of charge.
That's right.
And it costs you nothing to eat or drink.
That's right.
And the tailor, out of the goodness of his heart, has fitted you out with all this finery.
Well, I don't know about the goodness of his heart, but he's fitted me out all right.
You really expect me to believe you?
Well, when you hear how the whole thing happened, you will. You see...
Well, now I think it's time to stop teasing.
No, I'm not teasing. I'm not rich. I have no money. I'm not a millionaire.
Aren't you carrying this joke a little far?
It's not a joke. It's true.
Henry? You can take me home.
Well, don't you want to hear how it happened?
I've heard quite enough. Take me home.
Well, I fully understand.
There's no need to say any more. Do as I ask. Take me home.
Just a minute, sir.
Send the account to Bumble.
But it's only a shilling, Mr. Adams.
Never mind, send it. Portia, I can understand you're not wanting to marry a poor man,
you're
but...
simply adding insult to injury.
Insult? What insult?
As though I can't see through your ridiculous story. It's quite obvious you invented the whole thing.
Why should I?
Obviously, to test the strength of my love.
So that's it. Now, you listen to me.
As though I care whether you're rich or poor. But I do care if you think it makes any difference.
Portia, you're wonderful.
And you're horrible. And if you're trying to get out of the £5,000 you promised my aunt, you may as well know now that I shall never marry a man who isn't charitable.
You're going to listen to me if I have to bind you hand and foot.
Oh, Henry, put me down!
Not until we get to Bumble.
Henry, you please, put me down! Oh!
Quiet, quiet,
the price of Good Hope shares just keep on rising. The clerk writes the rising figures on a blackboard, and when they reach the 20 shilling mark, the brokers rush out in a group. A man on his way in gets swept back out as the brokers swarm to a bank of telephones.
That's right, Good Hope's at 20 shillings.
Good Hope's at one.
Is that you, Hastings? Credit, kid. Those Good Hopes, they're up to 20 shillings.
The American Millionaires in Good Hope Mines, they're up to 20 shillings.
Buy.
Henry Adams, the American Millionaires in Good Hope Mines, they're up to 20 shillings.
Buy.
Henry Adams, the American Millionaires in Good Hope Mines, they're up to 20
shillings. Buy.
And that's the whole story. When I take the note back to the two old boys on Thursday, it'll be quite a relief.
My boy, you've done it again. Cleaned up, made a fortune. £16,000. It's all gone according to plan. How do you do?
Oh, now, look here, Hastings, this is not...
Why, with you behind that mine, it doesn't matter if there is gold there or not. I bought you 20,000 shares at 2 and 3. They've gone up to a pound. Take away your original investment and you got 15,750. And it's all yours, my boy, every penny. I said you'd never regret this, Henry, and you never will.
Portia.
What's the matter?
You blithering, blundering, bull-nosed, block-headed, pot-bellied, ham-fisted jackass.
Henry! Wait a minute! You can't go like that! Henry, wait!
Henry is pacing outside a townhouse.
Yes, sir?
I've come to see Miss Lansdowne.
My apologies, sir. Our instructions are Miss Lansdowne is not to be disturbed.
Nonsense. Tell her it's Mr. Henry Adams and that it's very urgent.
If I may say so, sir, that will only add fuel, as it were, to the fire. Is that Miss Lansdowne's handbag, sir?
Yes, it is, but look, I've got to see
In the event of your being importunate, sir, I was told to say Miss Lansdowne hoped she would never set eyes on you again. I could wish the message had been more delicately phrased. Good day to you, sir.
490. 95. 500.
Thank you, Your Grace.
No doubt. Now, Lloyd, I want my old suite back.
It's hardly possible, Your Grace. Mr. Adams is still here.
Has he paid his account?
That doesn't arise, Your Grace.
If it arises for an Englishman and a gentleman, why not for a trumped-up American?
We could accommodate you in the Marlborough suite.
No, I want my own suite back. If we don't stand up to these Yankee upstarts, they'll be treading all over us. It's a question of principle.
He's a public figure, Your Grace, of considerable standing.
Stuff and nonsense. How do you know he's a millionaire? Nothing but hearsay.
At Bumble's, as you know, we're more concerned with the type of clientele than their personal incomes.
I'm not standing here to be insulted. What type do you think it is that doesn't even tip the barmaid? I mean the chambermaid. That little Rainey hasn't had one tip, she told me herself. If you don't get him out of that suite, Lloyd, I'll do it myself.
Rayner?
Sir?
What is Mr. Adams's account at the moment?
£136, sir. Up to last Thursday.
Is that all?
I'm afraid so, sir.
Pity.
I couldn't, sir. It wouldn't be right.
Come on, Rayner. Be a sport.
Supposing I was caught?
You won't be caught. It's only a bit of fun.
I shouldn't. Really, I shouldn't.
You can say it was my orders. Come on, Rayner. You like a joke, don't you?
Oh, but, sir...
Do it for me.
It is a bit of a lark, sir, isn't it?
That's the stuff.
Henry makes his way to his suite. Rock has poured him a drink and delivers it to his desk.
Thanks, Rock. Come in.
Rennie walks through.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
She looks in on Rock, who is hanging up Henry's jacket in the wardrobe. He heads out of the bedroom, leaving her alone. She smiles to herself, then scurries across the room to shut the door.
Rock, I want you to take this around to Hampshire House in the morning. Be sure that Portia gets it herself. If you don't bring me an answer directly from her, you're not the man I think you are.
Rennie has gone to the wardrobe and removed a wallet from Henry's pocket. She takes out the £1 million note. She hurries to the bed and straightens the sheets seconds before Rock comes back in. Rock passes through, carrying the letter for Portia. Once he's gone, Rennie scuttles back to the wardrobe and returns the wallet but keeps hold of the note. She looks about, then lifts a rug and puts the note underneath it. She smooths it out, then fiddles with her dress before adopting a quiet and unassuming air.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rennie comes out of the suite looking pleased with herself, then hurries up the stairs to knock on the door of the Duke of Frognall's room.
I done it, sir. I done it.
Done what?
What you said, sir.
What was that?
The note, sir.
Oh, splendid. Clever little girl.
Thank you, sir.
Clever little girl.
Good evening, milady. Good evening, madam.
Good evening, my lord.
Good evening.
The older tunes have so much more melody. This modern stuff seems to be quite discordant.
It's all gossip. Nothing but gossip. Phyllis only got to talk with a Yankee accent, and everyone thinks he's a millionaire. They can get away with anything. If you want my opinion, I don't believe he's got a £1 million note.
I tell you, my dear, the man is an adventurer. Don't ask me where I got it from. It was told to me in strictest confidence by someone very close to him. He never even had a £1 million note.
Parsons has overheard the gossip.
Yeah. If Henry Adams is a millionaire, then I'm the King of Arabia. There's no such thing as a £1 million note.
You mean he's a...
Of course, we know it's only a rumor, but my editor wondered whether perhaps you'd cash the note.
Not yet.
Then if you'd be so good as to show it to me, we'll give you a front page denial.
What for? I'm getting tired of showing this note to people.
Well, your refusal at this moment would only feed the rumor.
Oh, rumor, rumor, rumor. What difference does it make whether I'm a millionaire or not?
Or not? Just as you like, Mr. Adams. Either way, there's a story.
You've got earthquakes, shipwrecks, and Lloyd George, and still you have to pick on me for a story. All right. I'll show it to you.
Henry gets his wallet from his suit pocket and quickly realizes that the £1 million note is missing.
Rock?
Rock joins him.
Where did you put the note?
Rock holds his hand out for the wallet and searches it while Henry delves into the suit pockets. The newspaper man, David Evans, watches them with a sly smile. As Henry starts to look in a second suit, Evans is looking smug.
Would you like me to fetch the police?
No, I would not like you to fetch the police.
And perhaps you'd like me to contact the bank?
What I would like you to do is to stop poking your nose around here and get out. Out!
Hold it quite still, Mr. Adams.
£1 million mystery. Following a rumor that Henry Adams no longer possesses the much-talked-of £1 million note...
What?
Our reporter sought a special interview with him last night.
On being asked to produce the note, Henry Adams was reluctant and, when pressed, unable to do so.
When it was suggested that he might call the police or get in touch with the bank, he was adamant in refusing to take either of these most obvious remedies.
In the interests of Anglo-American relations, Mr. Adams should lose no opportunity of clearing up the mystery.
Particularly as it is well known that London society has freely opened its doors to this notorious American visitor.
An imposter? Who'd have thought it?
Just shows how simple and trusting we are.
I've always said you're far too easily imposed upon.
Charles, from now on, our doors are closed to Mr. Henry Adams.
Very good, Your Grace.
And I should think so, too.
Portia hurriedly leaves the dining table.
What extraordinary creatures women are. She told me she wasn't speaking to Henry Adams.
And if we're going to avoid a scandal, she mustn't.
I'm going straight to Bumble's.
No, my dear, you're going to have a good rest. I'll send you down to the country for a complete change of air. It'll make the whole difference.
Whatever you may do, I'm going to Henry.
If you were an ordinary girl, it wouldn't matter. But alas, we are not an ordinary family.
I'm going, Aunt Grace. And you can't stop me.
I'm sorry, Portia. It's the one thing I can do.
The Duchess locks Portia in her room.
Let me out!
I don't wish to press you, Mr. Adams, but if you can see your way to settling the account, it will enable us to bring our books up to date.
I thought you said there was no hurry.
Well, it is customary to settle weekly at Bumble's, but naturally, in your case, we were happy to let it run for 3 weeks.
I wouldn't press you either, but the appalling rise in the cost of labor makes it imperative.
There are two gentlemen waiting in the sitting room.
I can't see them now. I'm busy.
If you'll kindly settle, Mr. Adams, we'll detain you no longer.
But you said that you'd wait eternally.
Figure of speech.
Oh, I realize that, but to demand immediate payment just because I can't lay my hands on the note, it's unreasonable.
£130 is a big sum.
Mine's 150.
There are three more gentlemen waiting to see you.
No, I can't see them. Tell them I'm busy.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to dodge payment, but you put me in this suite unconditionally.
Possibly,
and you foisted
Mr.
those suits on me with a definite statement that you'd wait as long as I like.
It's beyond my powers to extend further credit.
Contrary to our policy.
I demand a settlement.
I insist on a settlement.
Excuse me, sir, but...
I told you to tell him I was busy.
Very good, sir.
Very well, gentlemen. You'll get your money. I'll settle my accounts in full.
When?
This afternoon. You've made the great error of thinking that I depend on that note. So happens that my real fortune is tied up in mining. Gold mining. Rock, I want you to be sure Miss Lansdowne gets that letter without delay. Well, good morning, gentlemen. You're a fascinating species. Sometime you must take a good look at yourselves. Under a microscope.
More creditors.
You'll be paid this afternoon, gentlemen, in full. No cause for anxiety.
There's turmoil at the stock exchange, where Good Hope share prices are falling rapidly. Mr. Craddock tips his top hat so it covers his forehead, and when the shares reach 5 shillings, there's another rush for the phones. The same man gets swept away by the tide of brokers.
That's right, Good Hope's down to 5 shillings. Good Hope's at the quarter.
Sell. Sell. Sell.
No!
Hastings is in shock.
That's all right, Captain. I'll find him myself. Well, there you are.
Thank the Lord you've come. Have you found the note?
Those shares of mine, Hastings. I want to sell them. I have to pay some bills.
Sell? Why, nobody would accept those shares as a gift. You've ruined me, my boy. I'm finished.
What are you talking about? You told me yourself they were worth £20,000.
That was yesterday. The note, Henry, where is it? You did have one, didn't you?
Well, of course I had one. Isn't there any sanity left around here? Where does all this up and down business go on?
Throgmorton Street, the stock exchange.
That's where I'm going.
No, Henry, you can't. You can't go in there. Henry, wait for me. Henry, you can't go in there. Strangers aren't allowed.
I'm the cause of all the trouble. I'm entitled to speak for myself.
Henry, they'll throw you out.
Henry strides into the bear pit and Hastings covers his face with his hands. Henry is lifted off his feet, his straw boat are battered, and then carried out.
You don't give me a chance to explain.
Henry is thrown out, landing with a bump on his rear end.
They call themselves business.
I warned you, Henry, it's tradition. They do it to Rockefeller himself.
There's a great crowd outside Bumble's. There are more inside.
What's going on? What are they all here for?
You, sir.
Me? It's ridiculous. I don't know that much. What about them?
It seems they've all come a cropper on Good Hope, sir. If you hang around up here, so them reporters will spot you.
Are they here too?
Yes, sir. Droves on. Not that way, sir. Round the back.
Excuse me, sir. Would you mind clearing the porch, please?
Mr. Adams! Have you the wherewithal to settle this unfortunate business?
I'm very sorry, Lloyd, but you'll have to wait after
all. Wait? But what are you going to do? The foyer is teeming with your wretched victims.
Victims? I don't even know half of them.
Tradesmen, shareholders in your fake mine, and journalists. Bumbles will never survive.
Shareholders?
Small shareholders.
Shareholders. They could save themselves, you, me, and the mine. All I've got to do is persuade them to hang on to their shares. Don't worry, Lloyd. Things may be all right after all.
It won't work, Mr. Adams. Don't go. There'll be a riot. Anything might happen. Anything.
There he is. That's him.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Henry stops on a staircase.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that you've all come here to see me. And that some of you have invested your money in the Good Hope gold mine. Naturally, you all want to know if your money is safe. Now, I can sympathize with those feelings.
What about the note?
Yes.
Are you or are you not a millionaire?
Whether I'm a millionaire or not is beside the point.
A great many people invested in Good Hopes purely on your recommendation.
Please, please, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just listen to me for a minute, you'll see that far from there being any need for panic, you've all made what will turn out to be a very sound investment.
Does that mean, Mr. Adams, you found the note?
Yes, sir, the note. Well,
Henry tries to quiet them down. The Duke of Frognal.
What the devil is going on?
Fine old alabaloo, sir. The hunt's up. Mark you, he's giving them a run for their money.
Don't talk in riddles, man. Make yourself clear.
Henry Adams, sir. Haven't you read the papers? They say he never had no banknote.
Serve him right.
Sir, if he don't find it, they'll lynch him.
Ah, they wouldn't do that. Not British. Let me in.
Excuse me, sir. If I was you, sir, I'd nip round the back.
I do not nip.
Now, please, 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 ladies and gentlemen, don't you see? If you'll all use a little common sense and hold on to your shares for another week, there's every chance...
Yes, that's all very plausible, Mr. Adams. But we're all still in the dark as to whether you're a man of substance or merely have the gift of the gab.
But it just isn't reasonable that you'd rather gamble on my reputation than on a good chance of finding gold.
You're the gambler, sir.
What difference does it make what I am? Providing that there's gold in the mine.
The fellow's fobbing us off.
Oh, please, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all face the facts like sane adult human beings.
Let's listen to the man.
Thank you, madam.
We are willing to listen to anybody.
Sir, it's all right, sir.
What's all right?
The bridal suite. You're getting it back. Change the sheets, Mr. Lloyd said, and dust the room. Look, sir. They're taking all his clothes. Isn't it a lark?
How dare you, sir? How dare you? Dashed impertinence. Take them back at once. A lot of shopkeepers taking the law into your own hands. Who do you think you are? Rennie, this has gone too far. A lark's one thing, but when a fella's expected to pay his tailor's bill, it's no joke. Come with me.
So it seems to me that there's been a great deal of hysteria over what is, after all, nothing more than a scrap of paper. I'm willing to stake my reputation. In fact, I'll give you my word of honor that if, in addition to holding on, you buy more shares, you'll all be amply rewarded. That gold mine is genuine.
That's right, my boy, and what's more, we can prove it.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, is the very man who can clear up any lingering doubts you may have about the Good Hope gold shares. Mr. Lloyd Hastings has such faith in them that...
The crowd see Mr. Reed coming down the stairs, along with footmen carrying all Henry's clothes in boxes.
They'll be returned, Mr. Adams, when you settle the account.
Mr. Adams talks of honor, but he can't even honor his tailor's bill.
It's a case of conspiracy, actionable in law.
You've taken my all!
Scoundrel!
Avenge the widows! Avenge the widows!
The widows! The widows!
A rather strapping man passes his hat, gloves and coat to a companion and moves up the stairs towards Henry, who takes off his own jacket.
No fighting, Mr. Adams, I forbid it.
Henry rolls up his shirt sleeves. The man punches Henry, who falls onto the stairs, but then gets up with a smile and socks his attacker, sending him flying backwards.
note! The blasted note!
Where was it?
Under your carpet, my instructions.
Why on earth would you do a thing like that?
I don't like Yankees. I don't like what you do with your money. But the things we do for it are a dash sight worse. You're entitled to throw down the glove.
Well, as I haven't got a glove, I'll have to accept your apology.
You're a sportsman. I'm beginning to like you.
Show it to him, Henry. Show him the note.
Yes, it is the note. It's the note. No, well done. No, no.
Good heavens. The man's all right.
Bless you, Mr. Adams. Bless you.
Amen.
You've got a half an hour, ladies and gentlemen, in which to buy, buy, buy.
Easily pleased crowd flood out of Bumbles, and Rock, Porter, and Parsons squeeze through them.
Make way, please. Make way, please. Excuse me, sir. Do you mind, sir? Excuse me, please.
Henry!
Porsche beams, and Henry stares at her in surprise. She joins him on the stairs.
Oh, Henry.
Mr. Reed has returned.
The whole thing was a misunderstanding, entirely due to the press. Reeds are eternally at your service.
Good.
Oh, Mr. Adams, there will be champagne in the bridal suite with the compliments of Bumbles.
Good.
Hold it quite still, Mr. Adams.
1 month to the day. In fact, to the very hour. A little the worse for wear, but still intact.
Congratulations, Mr. Adams.
Well, now that I've carried out my side of the bargain to your satisfaction, what was the bet?
Well, you see, I maintain that such is people's attitude to the symbol of wealth, that by just having that little scrap of paper in your possession, without ever cashing it, you could have everything you wanted.
Whereas I maintain that as you were denied the right to cash it, it would be quite useless to you. But I only have to look at you, Mr. Adams, to realize I was mistaken.
Never have I won a bet more conclusively. I tell you, Roderick, that note can do anything. It even made him £20,000 on the stock exchange.
May I say something?
By all means, my dear.
I agree that the note is extremely powerful, but it isn't quite true to say that it can do anything. You see, I love Henry because he's Henry.
The fact is that she left me when she thought I was rich and came back to me only when she discovered that I was really poor. If anything, the note came between us.
Oh, ho, do you hear that, Oliver?
Come, come, Mr. Adams. But for the note, you'd never have met.
How do you know they might have been fated to meet?
We're not discussing what might have been. We're concerned only with the facts.
Precisely, and the note came between them. It isn't all-powerful. As a matter of fact, my dear Oliver, I'm not so sure you won the bet.
You can't get out of it, Roderick. Mr. Adams returned the note intact and now has everything he wants. The mere fact that there was another stiff has nothing to do with it. The note almost wrecked them.
Henry and Portia leave the brothers arguing and climb into a waiting carriage.
Coachman, on your way.
The coachman, Rock, gives the couple the thumbs up, then urges the two white horses pulling the carriage to trot on along the sunlit road.